is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Again, the owners have agreed to the new collective bargaining agreement. People are talking about that like it's a big deal. The owners have agreed to the new collective bargaining agreement. And I'm like, but the players haven't agreed to that yet. By the way, Adam Schefter put it out there yesterday that teams are very hesitant to make their free agency plans until the new CBA is signed because they're worried about what that would look like, so they don't know. And I'm like, that is a signal to the players. Hey, if you guys don't sign this agreement, you won't get your money in a month. So do you want your money? Sign the agreement, you guys will get your money. But I guess a 17th game is in there and an extra playoffs team is in there as well. So have at it however you'd like. It's time for Ask the GM, presented by Tracy Langston Ford and Pella Windows and Doors. So, Ian, hit it.
When the GM speaks,
a little bit of the personality.
Everybody listens.
They understand every situation.
And we're giving you exclusive access to Pick the Brain of former Titans GM Floyd Reese.
Brought to you by Tracy Langston Ford and Pella Windows and Doors of Nashville.
Call 615-737-1025 now.
You're never going to make a mistake.
This is Ask the GM.
Ask the GM, presented by Tracy Langston Ford and Pella Windows and Doors. Thomas is going to kick us off. Thomas, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, Floyd, two quick questions. If Tua hadn't gotten hurt, do you think there would be a debate about the number one pick between he and Burrow? And my other question, with the Raiders and the Chargers being two of the teams linked to Brady, don't you think it would factor in his decision that they're in the Chiefs division, it would be, you know, a harder path to the Super Bowl? Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas.
You know, as far as the second part, I don't think he's going to – that'll be one of those things he'll look at later on. You know, he'll have to be doggone. We're going to have to play this guy twice a year. But the truth is, if one of those teams or both of those teams are willing to pony up the money that is going to be needed to sign him, then he's probably going to play, you know, as I used to say, he'd play in Alaska if he had to. To get to play for that kind of money. So I don't think that will be that big a deal. As far as Tua, I don't know that he would be better. I mean, the season that LSU had and that the quarterback had this year was off the charts good. And I think part of the problem with him is part of the thing that one of the things we're talking about with Tannehill, which is he was there last year, you know, didn't do much. All of a sudden this year you explode and the team explodes and, you know, everything is going great. How much – why, you know, only 12 games of that or 14 games or however many they played? Why couldn't we have done that for a couple of years? And so I'm sure there's a few questions about that. But with Tua, I mean, if he was healthy – I think it'd make all the difference in the world. I'm not sure he's better than Burroughs, but he would certainly be snugged right up there next to him in my mind. But the injuries really, really kind of blow it away for me. I mean, that's and maybe I'm just paranoid about that kind of stuff.
I think that it would be the number one debate when they talk about the draft is who should go number one. And you'd have like Mel Kiper and someone arguing about Tua versus Burrow.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
But I think the injuries have just... I mean, you can't not take
scary.
Joe Burrow.
It's so scary.
Let's go to Keith, who's up next on Ask the GM. Go ahead, Keith.
Hey, guys. Floyd, I'm curious. I think it's 2006, whenever y'all drafted Vince. Now, I know Bud had a little input in all that, but you had two other quarterbacks in that draft class that was supposed to be really good. What was the process and what went on in – ultimately selected Vince, and what kind of conversations did y'all have back and forth about the other two? And I'll hang up with
you. We kind of went on a tour, and you're always trying to analyze the best way to figure out which one of these quarterbacks you're going to like. I mean, we could have, you know, bought all three of them. I mean, I'm not sure we would have been really disappointed if we ended up with any one of them. But because we were drafted so high, we wanted to, you know, have our pick. So what we did was we went on our tour and we went to every one of the schools and we took the coaches and took a group of receivers and we took our film guys and we took everything. And we would go out there for like a weekend. Say we were going to Texas where VY was. You know, we would go for a weekend. And we would fly in there. We would work out with him. We would go through meetings with him. We would go, you know, look at film with him, do all of that for the weekend. Then we go out to dinner with him that night. And then the next day we'd kind of start all over. And we did. We kept the meetings. We kept the workouts. We kept everything exactly the same. Exactly. That is, you know, the third pattern you're going to throw is going to be a 20-yard comeback to this receiver. And then, you know, the next one will be from the right, and it will be so that we could look at those guys throw exactly the same ball to exactly the same guys running exactly the same patterns. And we thought that helped us, and I think it did.
Let's go to Chris, who's up next on Ask the GM, presented by Tracy Langston Ford and Pella Windows in Nashville. Chris, go ahead.
All right. The Predators are in an interesting position with them being on the cusp of the playoffs and on the border. And with the trade deadline coming up, with your GM hat on, what do you do if you're David Poile? How long do you wait before you decide if you're a seller and you're trying to move pieces like Granlund or Craig Smith? Or do you make... You know, do you get into one of those last spots and then all of a sudden you might want to add a piece, even if you can add a piece? Or do you stand pat and just hope that you can make one of those last couple of spots and get hot?
Thanks, Chris.
Yeah, I think, and the more I think about this, more when I talk to hockey guys. And if I was a football guy, I'd be saying the same thing, which is if you got a chance to make the playoffs, okay, I understand it, go make the playoffs. That being said, I'm not sure that you can spend a lot. You know, you've got to be very, very careful with how you do this because of the currency, the draft currency that you want to get, you want to develop. And it sounds like they've got a few picks already. So, you know, we want to have one of those all-time kind of drafts. But you don't want to, you know, from a cap standpoint, how many guys are you going to be able to bring in and pay? From, you know, if you don't make a trade, are you going to be able to pay Smith and these guys that you know are coming up? And the bottom line is, I think there are a lot of questions there. And that's why it's more difficult. It's more difficult than just, okay, should we make a run at the playoffs or not? And I think each year you get a little bit closer to the cap and a little bit, the spending gets a little bit tighter and you have more good players under contract, the harder all that becomes. And I think there are a lot more questions that he's got to ask. But like I said before, and I believe this, you know, more than ever after last night, he has his mind made up. He's already decided what it is he wants to do. And he's, you know, working in that direction, even though he would probably never admit it. I can't believe that you're going to wait until, you know, the last game is played before the trade deadline, before you start working on trades. I mean, those things don't happen overnight, and it's something that you've got to spend a lot of time, a lot of effort doing.
Guess who's on the trade block, by the way, in the NHL?
Who's that?
Wayne Simmons.
I bet we can get him cheap.
Go make a move for Wayne Simmons. Question for the GM. Do the Titans draft a quarterback like Jalen Hurts from Oklahoma and let him sit behind Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady, who he would learn more from, and is that a good route to go?
I think it is a good route to go. It's harder for teams to do that. But, yeah, I mean, I think I would draft a young guy, not this draft. I think I'd probably look more at next year's draft. You know, the quarter after the first one, maybe two, if you can get past the injuries, I'm not sure this quarterback draft is quite as good as a couple we've seen in the past. So I think I'd hold out for next year and hope it's a little bit better. Bring somebody in and give them that year or two of just watching a guy like either one of them, really. Brady would be a great mentor to him after watching Ryan and what he's done here. I think Ryan would be a great mentor to him. But just having him watch what an NFL quarterback does, how they operate, how they work with the team, how they do all of the little things that become so, so important if you're the starting quarterback.
Let's get another batch of calls for the GM. Calls and text, 615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesale Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Our big, long commercial-free segment is next. Ask the GM is presented by Tracy Langston, Ford, and Pella Windows of Nashville. Ask the GM, one line open. If you want to snag it, 615-737-1025. Josh is up next on Ask the GM. Josh, you're on with the GM, Floyd Reese.
Hey, guys. So my question is, you know, we've got the big four free agents for the Titans up. We got Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Jack Conklin, and Logan Ryan. For me, you have to bring back Henry and Ryan Tannehill because the offense completely changes without either one of those two guys in the lineup. For me, the big offseason deal is Jack Conklin. So my question for the GM is, as far as offensive line goes, we've got the highest paid left tackle, we've got a highly paid left guard, and we've got a newly paid center. Jack Conklin, is he going to want to go out there and test his value as a left tackle? The market's going to be between 16 and 18 or 19 million for him. GM, are we going to be able to bring him back, and what's it going to cost us? And you know, how do you view an offensive line in total, and what would you do with Jack Conklin? Thanks, guys.
You know, I would try everything within my power to sign Jack, and really that comes from a little bit of experience from the standpoint that we had John Runyon here who was also a right tackle that, you know, at that point in time, a left tackle and a right tackle were much farther apart. That is, from a pay standpoint, you know, you could pay a left tackle $5 million and you would never play a right tackle that, but you might pay him, you know, a million and a half, $2 million. So that was kind of the difference. And we ended up losing him. And there was a spell where, at least a year, where it was kind of a struggle at right tackle till we got to the next draft. Once we got to the next draft, we brought in a couple guys and we were okay. But I look at these free agents from two or three different directions. And one I look at that I think is the toughest is, how do you replace this guy? You know, if you have to go out and replace him, and I'm talking about equal caliber, you know, equal size, equal strength, equal across the board. And I think Jack is one of those harder guys to replace. Now, this is going to be a pretty good draft for tackles. But just because you're a tackle and I draft you high doesn't mean you can come in and play. And I think that's the part that's the scariest. And so you say to yourself, yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are guys out there that we could find that would be available.
What about Kelly?
And bring him in. Yeah, Kelly. I mean, Kelly's a backup. I don't ever, for this team, I don't think you'd want him starting. So you go through and you say, okay, what's it going to cost me to replace this guy? And Jack is one of those guys. I think it would be really, really costly from two or three different directions, but certainly costly.
Speaking of Conklin, already chatter, as Greg Robinson got caught with 157 pounds of weed at the border, he's not coming back. Jeremy Fowler of ESPN says their first call should be to Jack Conklin, who's one of the most captivating free agents in the eyes of NFL sources. Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for ESPN, kind of how TD covers the Titans for ESPN, Jake Trotter says Conklin is definitely on Cleveland's radar, and the Browns have $13 million in additional cap space from the moves made earlier this week. Signing Conklin and drafting a starting caliber tackle would shore up the biggest holes in an offense that still has top 10 potential. So if Cleveland and the bad teams are getting in on Conklin, I think they've got to find a way to tag Conklin. And I'm not talking transition tag. I'm talking franchise tag. And then you tag Conklin, and then you sign him to a deal. Or you transition him, and then you sign him to a deal. You match whatever somebody else signs him to. But I don't think the Titans are in a position to where they can let Jack Conklin go. Let's go to Matt, who's up next on Ask the GM, presented by Tracy Langston, Ford, and Pella Windows and Doors. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Mr. Reese. You and Jeff Fisher put together some incredible defenses. I mean, the 99 season, we were the only team in the NFL that beat the greatest show on turf at home. We beat Jacksonville, their incredible offense, three times. Did Jeff Fisher ever come to you and say, I want to call the defensive plays, I want to be defensive coordinator? Or if he did, what would have been your advice? Thank you. I hang up and listen.
Yeah. Thank you. And I think this is in reference to Vrabel.
Yeah,
if Vrabel
question,
calls
though.
The plays this yeah. year.
No, Jeff never did. And I'm glad he didn't. I mean,
because you would have said no.
I would have said, you know, I would have advised against it if it was me. I just, my impression is it's much, much harder for a defensive guy to do both. And maybe I'm overplaying this a little bit, but if you're on offense, you set the tempo, you set the time, you determine, you know, when things happen and against who they happen. So, you know, you can kind of go through and if you need a timeout, you go ahead and call a timeout. And if you don't, you go on. And if you, you know, you kind of control the game. As a defensive guy, you're reacting to everything. You're reacting to the substitutes that run on the field. You're reacting to the new down and distance. You're reacting to the clock. You're reacting to injuries. You're reacting to all of those kinds of things. And it's just, I always felt like it was really, really hard to do all of that and do it as well as it needs to be done and still run a game. You know, still decide in 2 minutes and you've got three timeouts there and you're trying to figure out who they're running on the field and whether you're going to go nickel or dime or regular people and what kind of, you know, how many defensive linemen are out. Well, all of a sudden, You know, you look out there and you lost 10 seconds because you should have called a timeout or did and shouldn't have. So I think those kinds of things always scared me from a coordinator standpoint enough that I always felt like, well, you know, if we can keep from that happening, let's go ahead and do that.
Mark on the text line, GM, if you could keep one player, who would it be? Tannehill, Henry, or Jack Conklin?
Wow. I mean, you got to always go with the quarterback.
Yeah, that's too easy. Henry or Conklin?
Wow, I'd have to think about that one a little bit. Conklin would be harder to replace.
And you're probably going to, if you sign Conklin, you'll probably have Conklin for longer than you'll have Henry.
And yeah, but Henry means so much from a personality standpoint, but probably Conklin, yeah.
I think what's going to happen is I think the Titans are going to sign Tannehill to a deal. They're going to tag Conklin, and then they're going to re-sign Derrick Henry. All three will be back, and I think there's a chance Logan Ryan comes back too. The question is how do they get better at pass rusher if all four of those guys come back? Conklin, though, a new deal for him is going to just bite your rear end.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, John Robinson really should get the – I mean, for all the things he's done well, the declining of the fifth-year option on Conklin really should – I mean, that was a risky call when he made it, and I get it, but it was a bad decision on his part.
The offensive line, I never really worried about paying offensive linemen. Offensive linemen are the most important, least appreciated players on the team. I mean, because I don't care what happens, you don't score a point, you don't get a first down. You don't, you know, get a single run. You can't break the huddle if the offensive linemen aren't right. And so we always had, you know, we went through for a while where we had Brad. He was a highly paid tackle. Bruce Matthews, Bruce was, I'm sure, the highest paid guard in the league. Kevin Mawai, Hall of Fame center. Then we had Benji or Zach or whoever was on the other side. And then, I mean, we always had money invested in the offensive line.
Texter Caleb says, when you cut a player and they speak about hurting your cap number, what's the big deal? You still save real money even if it hurts the cap number. Owners should care less about fake money counting against the cap.
Well, the some of the money that counts against the cap is fake. That is, you know, if I give you a signing bonus over a three-year contract, that's spread out for the length of the 3 years. And I'm giving you the money in year one, but I'm being charged for that money in year three. So that money is fake from the standpoint that there's not really anything coming out of his pocket because it already came out in year one. But from a cap standpoint, I mean, it's very, very real. And people look at it as very real. And it's got – that's like they're talking about this new CBA. If they get that thing done – I mean, the truth is no one should have cap issues. Now, when that goes up, all the salaries are going up, and it's like these deals that we're talking about now, the deal for any one of these guys, the tackles deal, if the new CBA is signed, he's automatically going to make another couple $1 million a year.
Oh, yeah. You know? I mean, that's what Goodell's holding over the players right now in these negotiations is free agency. Like, if you guys don't sign a new CBA, our teams are going to be kind of hesitant. So I don't know what we're going to do. So then there's Jack Conklin calling his player rep saying, get that thing signed. Get it signed.
So it's, they all realize. And the bottom line is there is so much money involved on both sides that no one can prosper by being out of business. You know, they have got to go to work. They've got to play the games. They've got to do whatever it is they can to keep the league up and healthy.
Texter, how did you feel about a player's floor versus their ceiling? Was getting a solid player or gambling on a potential star player more important to you?
You know, I think there are positions where it's more important. I think, for example, we were talking about offensive line. I mean, for me, it was always more important to be solid across the board. You know, don't give me any weak links. Now, I may not have all pros, but I don't want the reject. I don't want the free agent that has to come in there and play. If you're talking about receiver, you're talking about running back, of course, quarterback, maybe corners, then you're talking about guys that are game changers. You know, guys that are going to score points or prevent the points. Guys that are truly, truly blessed athletes. Not that the offensive linemen aren't, but, you know, they're just not as pretty. Let's face it, you watch some of those receivers and running backs out there running around doing stuff. I mean, it's a beautiful thing to watch. So I think those guys, you look for a little bit more star power.
Texter to the text line says, When everyone's talking about resigning Ryan Tannehill, I always hear about a 1 to 2 year deal. If what it takes to sign him to a lower value is a 3 to 5 year deal with a possible option in the last year, would you take it knowing his age at the end of the contract would be around 37 years old?
I would take the 3 year and an option. I don't think I would have a problem with that. But when you start talking about 5 or 6 years, that's getting out there a little bit. But if he wanted 3 years and then wanted an option on it,
if you give it to him all in signing bonus and then you give him a 6 year deal, I mean, I'm cool with that, because then if you cut him like 3 years in, you know, whatever that cap charge is going to be less because the signing bonus will be spread over those other years that are fake.
Right.
So let's say you give him a $120 million contract, 60 of it guaranteed, and you do it over a 6 year deal, and then you cut him, you know, that's going to be $60 million guaranteed. You're going to be hit for $10 million a year, but it's only going to be, you know, those last couple of years you don't have him, but it's only $10
million. Well, yeah, but if he misses 3 years, that's $30 million because it's $10 million a year.
Yeah, but it's a year, so I don't have to worry about, can live with that.
Well, yeah, but you don't, when the contract expires, when you cut the guy, all of this money in year 5 and year 6 gets accelerated into that year.
Even if it's fake money?
Yes. Signing bonus money?
Signing bonus money?
It all gets accelerated. So you don't get to charge another $10 million next year. The $10 million from next year and the $10 million from the year after that go on the books today. So that's a $30 million cap charge for you.
Yeah, no, I don't like that. 615-737-1025. We hear all the talking, all the posturing around the country about what Tom Brady is thinking. And the Titans are right there at the top of the list. But coming up next, if Floyd was the general manager of the Titans, or just a general manager in the league, how would he be reading these tea leaves surrounding Brady's free agent choice? We'll get to that coming up next. It's Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
You spent a lot of time in the Boston area. You've got a lot of sources in that area, and I don't think people realize how connected you are to that situation. So I want to go back to this. You believe the Titans and the Raiders are the two leaders in the clubhouse for Tom Brady's services. Do you think that it's more likely that he'd sign with one of those teams than return to New England? Or where do you put returning to New England in that pecking order, Jeff?
This is, we'll call it what, educated speculation?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this time of the year is.
But yeah, if you're asking me to put odds on this thing, I say Titans and Raiders, and then I say Patriots, and then I put down the list teams like the Chargers, the Dolphins, and some of those other names. And I would put the Patriots somewhere pretty close behind, though, the Titans and the Raiders, if you're asking me to put odds on this thing.
Jeff Darlington joined our show earlier today. That was him on the Adam Schefter podcast. Jeff Darlington, close with the Brady camp. So you're general manager of the Titans, and you know you've got Ryan Tannehill, and maybe you feel like you're going to keep Ryan Tannehill, which if you were GM of the Titans, I'm convinced you would keep Ryan Tannehill. But how would you be reading the Brady tea leaves? I mean, the narrative around the country, we had Fitz on the show yesterday. Is there any doubt in your mind that Jason Fitz at ESPN is convinced Tom Brady's going to free agency?
I didn't really pay much attention to it.
Fitz was basically the whole time saying, well, the insiders I talked to say he's going to free agency. So he's not just going back to New England.
But Fitz didn't say that. That's my point.
Oh, no. Fitz, I mean, the vibe I got was that Fitz was basically like, hey, I'm telling you what everybody here is saying, that he's going, so he's going. And I'm looking at it like, I don't really think he's going. But then there's all this Raider crap that's come out about how they're going to offer him $60 million over 2 years, $30 million a season. The Raiders will do anything to sign him. We know the Raiders are desperate to sell tickets. The Chargers are going to want him. And here you are, your general manager of the Titans. How would you be reading these tea leaves? How would you be reading the media reports? How would you be reading what you know in your heart? How would you be looking at what the other teams are thinking about? How would you be analyzing the entire Tom Brady free agency situation and how it affects your situation at the same time?
Well, all the analysis would be based on their team. I mean, you would look at the Raiders, for example. You look at their cap and you look at their personnel and you look at who they got, and then you would say, okay, you know, can they afford to get rid of Carr? Do they want to get rid of Carr? Can they afford to bring Brady in? Do they want to bring Brady in? What are they going to do with the offensive Brady? And you analyze it that way. You know, a bunch of the speculation that runs around, you just ignore. You know, you don't listen to that stuff. But you do spend enough time with each of the other teams, especially if you're looking for them. If you're looking for a guy and you're thinking I might be interested in this guy, then you're looking at all the other teams that are possibilities. Like Miami, I wouldn't even consider Miami.
Like when people throw Miami out there, Brady would be in. Brady's got, they stink.
Yeah, there'll be a few teams that you can just blow off. But there'll also be a couple of teams that you would spend a lot, like, let's just, everybody's using Oakland. I mean, Vegas and San Diego. Jeez. Vegas and L.A. I mean,
I say Oakland all the time.
Everybody's using those two. And so if you spend, that would be, you know, I would go through and I'd be looking at it from that standpoint. Can they afford them? Do they need them? Yeah, you know, San Diego certainly does. San Diego's going to need a quarterback. They're going to need somebody to help them with tickets. They're going to need all that. Can they afford them? You know, would Tom be interested to go there? And looking at it from that standpoint.
So I don't think Brady has any interest in the Raiders. That's the one where if I'm New England, because I think there's two ways to look at this, right? There's what the Patriots actually have to look at, and then there's the Titan angle to this. I think Brady would come here. I do. If Brady's going to leave, and let's just say the insiders are all right, Tom Brady is hell-bent on testing free agency, I think Tom Brady would entertain the idea of coming to the Titans. I think Tom Brady would want to come here. I don't think the Titans want Tom Brady. That's where I think the hangup is if I'm the Titans, I don't want Tom Brady. I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill. But put that aside. I don't think Brady wants to play for the Raiders. Their best wide receiver is Tyrell Williams. He stinks. Darren Waller, their tight end, is okay. Their offensive line's nothing special. Their running game, Josh Jacobs, good young runner. So at least he has that, and I think can catch the ball out of the backfield. Their defense is lousy. The Farrell kid they picked in the first round had one good game this year. Other than that, he stunk. Max Crosby they took in the fourth round. It was a better player than Farrell was this year. So their defense is not very good. Gruden, like, the sense I get is that people that watch TV as opposed to the people that do football, the TV people like Gruden a lot more than the football people like John Gruden. And I'm guessing Brady would probably look at Gruden and think, well, I'll just tell Gruden what to do. So, you know, maybe Brady would want to play for Gruden. I doubt it, but okay. The Chargers actually, I think, have a pretty decent team to put around Brady. But he's going to get taxed half the raise, going to be halfway across the country from his home in New York. Like, the Chargers, they stunk last year. Their coach doesn't inspire a lot. Chargers, maybe. Raiders, I can't see him interested in. I struggled to find a team that Tom Brady would actually want to play for.
Well, I mean, team / city, I could see where L.A. would be an option, just getting back to L.A.
Even though Darlington said on the show that Brady's family lives in New York and Brady doesn't want to be flying east-west.
Well, I think Brady's family would move to L.A. if he was playing for L.A. And play for, you know, I mean, his wife, of course, L.A. is not New York, but it is L.A., and fashion is gigantic out there. And he had, you know, he had a big, beautiful home out there.
If Giselle can live in Brookline, Massachusetts, can't Giselle live anywhere? Like, I mean, it's not like her job. And I don't know, like, modeling per se. But, like, if Mike Fisher and Carrie Underwood can be married and Mike Fisher can play in Ottawa, like, can't they make it work? Can't Giselle live in Indianapolis for 1 year during the week, and on the days that she has to go out of town for a model shoot or for a, you know, a book tour or for Jimmy Kimmel or something like that, hop on the jet and go? Like, can't you do that from Indianapolis? I feel like you can. I don't think Giselle works every single day.
Well, I have no idea what modeling entails. You know, but
I think modeling for a model is one thing. I think modeling for Giselle is another thing.
Yeah. I mean, she's going to be, I'm sure whatever she does is a lot more expensive and a lot more extensive. So I would think, you know, if you're talking about, I've got to go on a shoot and I'm going to be gone 6 weeks or something, you know, that makes it a little bit tougher.
Oh, I think it's all more catered for Giselle, which is like, okay, I've got a shoot. I'm going to Brazil for 3 days. Or, I'm going to the Galapagos Islands to go shoot this bikini shoot, and I'll be gone for 4 days. I don't think Giselle goes for 6 weeks at a time.
I think you'd be shocked.
Really?
Yes.
What the hell do you do for 6 weeks?
I mean, it's not, again, this is not, you know, a swimsuit thing where, hey, next, she runs out there, jumps in the water, you take a picture of her. She is a world-class, I mean, people will tell you she's the best model in the world.
Right, which means that I think it's more catered to what she wants to do.
She is wearing million-dollar outfits and million-dollar jewels and million-dollar whatever it may be.
So why does this take 6 weeks?
It's done. It's done with the absolute, it's like filming a TV show. TV show only lasts 60 minutes, but you film for a year. You cut it down, you get it the way you want it, and then you put it on TV. I mean, if you say, well, I'm going to make a TV show, you don't say, oh, that'll only take you an hour. I mean, that's not the way it works.
I don't disagree with that. I just don't think it takes 6 weeks for Giselle Bundchen to do one model shot or whatever it would be.
I have no idea how long it would take.
And again, if she can do that in Brookline, Massachusetts, why can't she do that in Indianapolis, Indiana?
Brookline is how far from New York?
What, you know, 45-minute flight?
Yeah. There you go.
But I'm telling you, the place that Giselle shoots is not New York. You know, when she's like on the rocks in the waterfall, that ain't New York City.
Yeah, I don't know where that is. But, I mean, I know she did, or at least they used to say that she does a lot of work in New York. Because New York is such a fashion hub.
Sure, sure. But it doesn't make
and
me
think.
And
I think L.A. would be like that.
I just think in my head that if Brady's the quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts and Giselle's got to go to New York, she can't get on a jet in Indianapolis and fly to New York and be there for however long she needs to be there, a couple of days, fly right back. It would be the same as Brookline. If she had to go to New York, you'd hop the flight to Brookline.
Okay. Mr. Model. Whatever you say.
I could be wrong.
3 days, that's all you get, Giselle.
I'm talking out of my rear right here, but I just don't think, personally, I just don't think that job requires her to be in a certain city that Tom has to then skip cities to not be in. I think there are cities that they don't want to live in, like Indianapolis. Can't see Tom and Giselle going to St. Elmo's Steakhouse, but I just... It's just me. I feel like for a year they can figure it out. I think if you're the, I just don't see a logical choice for Tom Brady that's not returning to the New England Patriots, other than maybe the Chargers. But they stink. Like, he doesn't want to go to the Chargers, does he? And play in Mahomes' division? We had a caller call in and said that, and you were like, I don't think that would be affecting Tom. I think it would definitely affect Tom to have to be in Mahomes' division.
Well, so what are you going to do? Turn down $60 million because you don't want to have to play on the same field with a guy you're not even playing against?
Well, you're going to play against him twice.
You're not playing against him. You're playing against his defense.
If my choice of quarterbacks are Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, or Ryan Fitzpatrick in my division, I can get to the playoffs and I'm trying to get to the Super Bowl, or it's Patrick Mahomes, I will take the guys I've beaten up on for 2 decades. I will take that group as opposed to, that's where I think the Titans have another appeal to them. And that is, Indy and Jacksonville don't scare you, and the Texans are what they are. And I don't think Brady fears the Texans.
Okay. I'm good. We're good.
So I'm just reading the tea leaves on where Brady would want to go or where Brady wouldn't want to go. I mean, I know you hate talking about this because you think it's all fake and you think Brady is going right back to New England. And that all of this is a load of crap, and you're probably right. I think Brady goes back. But this is the biggest story in the country, and it involves your team, Floyd. Like, that's the thing. It's the biggest story in America, and it involves the Titans. So we're going to have to talk about it for the next month.
Okay.
So get excited. 615-737-1025. Jeff Darlington, the man who, I guess, kind of started the Titans as the front runner narrative on the Adam Schefter podcast, joined us earlier today. What Darlington had to say, we'll get to that coming up next. Breaking news from the folks at Manscaped. They've successfully created the greatest below-the-waist trimmer ever, the new Lawnmower 3.0. We all know grooming is essential nowadays, but I'm sure a lot of guys are still hesitant to Manscaped. You're afraid you may cut yourself, which is a very understandable fear. That's why Manscaped has redesigned their electric trimmer, their Lawnmower 3.0, which features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent those scary accidents so the trimmer won't nick or snag your skin. The Enhanced 3.0 has a long battery life, charging station, and LED light for a safe, precise job. Go to manscaped.com and try the Lawnmower 3.0 to get 20% off and free shipping if you use the discount code NASH. That's right, discount code NASH. That's manscaped.com, discount code NASH. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Again, the biggest topic this week in American sports is Tom Brady and the Titans. And it's amazing because a guy almost died at the Daytona 500. That's not the biggest topic. Baseball has a huge cheating scandal. That would be a big topic, but that was kind of a bigger topic earlier, like in previous weeks. Tom Brady's free agency is a consistent topic for the entire week. Whereas, like, the title fight in Vegas on Saturday, I'm not sure how much play that really gets. Jeff Darlington is the one who listed the Titans as the favorites in the Tom Brady sweepstakes. ESPN NFL insider Jeff Darlington said on the Adam Schefter podcast, and Adam Schefter ran with that. So we, of course, had Jeff Darlington on our show, and we asked Jeff Darlington about all these pressing questions, including the idea of Brady testing free agency. Is Tom Brady the greatest quarterback of all time who's never gone out into free agency? Is he really going to go out there and test out the market? Jeff Darlington on Jared and the GM.
Tom Brady is absolutely very much considering, which at this point I don't think is a surprise to anybody, but he's very much considering leaving the Patriots. And I think that's the first thing that people need to wrap their heads around, because in the past week or two, anytime I say that to somebody, they're like, no, he's not going to leave the Patriots. And I think it's time for us to really accept that, that, look, he could potentially stay if things go really well between him and Bill Belichick in the coming weeks. But that to me doesn't feel like it's going to happen. And the Titans absolutely are a team that is appealing to Tom Brady at this point.
So you heard it right there that Tom Brady, that Darlington thinks, and he is close to the Brady camp, Darlington thinks that Brady is going to hit free agency, that he's not going to come to a deal with the Patriots, that he's going to go on free agency. And he's not the only person that said that. There are a lot of people who are convinced Brady's going to get out there into free agency. So then you ask the question, Floyd, about, is this simply about money? Does Tom Brady, who's always taken below market deals, is Tom Brady convinced that, hey, this is my last chance to go out and get paid? Is this about money, Jeff Darlington?
I have no sense that it is a play for money. I don't sense at all that his demands will be extraordinary, whether he stays with the Patriots or goes elsewhere. Far more important, I would say, is the ability to be able to collaborate with his coach and to be able to, I don't want to say creative license, I don't know if that's the right word, but to be able to kind of have, let's say, creative input when it comes to the offense, when it comes to kind of saying, like, hey, this would be a receiver that I think I'd really work well with. And I don't sense that that has existed, certainly not early on in Tom's career there, but more so in the later stages of his career.
Okay, let's talk about this for a second. Do you think, and you were there in New England, does Bill Belichick ever sit down with Tom Brady and says, Tom, this is our plan for the offense in the offseason. We're going to draft this receiver, we're going to sign this guy, we're going to trade that guy, and this is what we're going to do?
No, probably not. I mean, and Tom wouldn't know about it one way or the other. I mean, unless Tom wants to get on the plane, pack his bags, and chase these coaches all around the country working these receivers and running backs out, which he does not want to do, I can assure you, then all he knows is what he reads or somebody tells him.
Now, I was in Boston when Wes Welker went away, and I remember hearing the media chatter there was that Brady was furious when Wes Welker left. I think there are certain things like that that Brady does care about. Like if Bill's going to trade Julian
Edelman.
Well,
I mean, they were good friends. There is no doubt about that. They were close.
And Brady threw him the ball a lot. I mean, I think.
Sure.
But like if Bill's going to get rid of Julian Edelman, I don't think he clears that with Tom. I think he does it. And I can't see Bill changing after all these years of not letting Tom make those kind of decisions that Bill all of a sudden is going to say, okay, Tom, since you're a free agent, you get to pick what we do on offense.
Yeah, no, he doesn't. I mean, he's never going to give him. I mean, and Tom doesn't want to do it. It was like Jeff. You know, Jeff wasn't interested in personnel.
Jeff Fisher.
Yeah. I mean, he just wanted to coach. And then when the offseason came and the coaching was done, he didn't want to jump on a plane and start chasing these guys all around the country. He didn't want to do that. And I didn't blame him, you know, after going through a season. So, you know, he didn't. Now, he'd come down when it came down to it. He would see him, and, you know, he'd know who you're talking about and all that. But it's not the same as actually working it, you know. And Tom doesn't want to do that. And if you're not going to do that, then you don't deserve to have a say. And so I think that's where the problem. But the real issue was when he was talking about collaborating on game plans. Because I know, I mean, they meet.
Talking about Bill and Tom.
Yeah. I mean, they meet literally daily on what's going on.
Just so those two?
Not just those two daily, but just those two about three times a week. Just those two. In Bill's office, just those two.
And I got to believe that over the course of time, if Tom has something he wants to say to Bill, he's not worried to go tell Bill what he thinks.
No, he'll go in there and tell him. He and Josh have been together for a long time. And I'm going to tell you what, there is absolutely no communication issue there. I mean, those guys talk about what do you like, what do you want to run, what are you seeing, what do you... all the time. He will not go anyplace else and get more say about what's going on than he does there.
Which then takes us to the idea about the roots in this. You know, has Brady sat down with teams? Has it gotten out? You know, is Brady's camp talking to other teams? What about the Patriots in this? This is what Jeff Darlington said on our show.
I don't get the sense that there's these deep-rooted conversations between the sides just yet. I absolutely think that Tom Brady will have an audience with the Titans in some capacity at some point. I mean, look, we cannot ignore the fact that he and Mike Vrabel are very close friends. So, to your point, though, the Titans also have a decision to make here, of course, when it comes to Ryan Tannehill. I mean, Tannehill was not only obviously a very effective quarterback in 2019, but doing so in an offense that allowed him to thrive out of play action. I mean, he was so good in that capacity, seemingly in an offense that wants him to do exactly that. So I think the Titans' decision will also have to be like, do we want to change this offense completely when we seemingly have a good thing going? And that's going to be the rub. That's going to be the important question that they have to ask or answer in the next 3 to 4 weeks.
So the one thing that he said there was he thinks the Titans will get an audience with Tom Brady in some capacity. I'm just not convinced the Titans want an audience with Tom Brady. I think a lot of people outside of Nashville think, hey, the Titans, if they get their shot at Brady, they better sit down with Brady and pitch him. And I can't see Vrabel and Robinson sitting down, bringing Tom to the facility and saying, Tom, this is why you should sign with us.
I don't know how logistically, I don't know how it works. I mean, it doesn't work for anybody.
It works for Peyton Manning.
The only teams it works for are teams that have no quarterback. And so you have no issues. But if you've got a quarterback, you're not bringing Tom in. And if you certainly have a quarterback you're trying to sign, you're probably not bringing Tom in. Mm-hmm. Unless you know you don't want your quarterback, or unless you know somebody's going to offer your quarterback a bunch of money and you're not going to be able to match it. And so now you're bringing Tom in. But I don't know how that's going
to
work.
Like how Elway was totally willing to lose Tim Tebow. Like Elway was totally fine with it. Like, you know, if you don't like it that I brought Peyton in, go pack your bags and get that out.
And if Tebow was your quarterback, you'd bring
him. You could do something like when Matt Hasselbeck and Jake Locker were your quarterbacks and you
bring
brought
him
Peyton in.
Yeah,
fine.
Come on in.
Okay, what about, well, we'll get to the rest of this coming up. I would just say I'm fascinated by how much talk there is surrounding the Titans and Brady, and yet 65% of the fans here don't even want him. 65% of the fans are cool with Ryan Tannehill.
What's that tell you?
I mean, that is amazing. That is amazing. That's going to do it for us, Jared and the GM. Tomorrow, got a big show planned on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. ESPN Radio is coming up next.